Today we have lesson 10. We're still in chapter 4 of Ecclesiastes, and now we'll be in verses 9 through 16. Now, previously in this chapter, Solomon has looked at life, the life of the industrious man, which was really in verse 4, the idle man, which was in verses 5 and 6, the integrated man, who has a balanced life, that was also in verse 6, and the independent man. And in the lesson today, in light of the independent man, Solomon considers the importance of friendship and the value of people doing things together. So let's read verses 9 through 12. Solomon says, "Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Again, if two lie down together, they'll keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken." Two are better than one. In the previous section, Solomon thought how even in an under-the-sun world, living alone made life worse. He continues to develop the same idea, noting that two are better than one, and will begin to state the reasons why this is true. In a good partnership, two can accomplish more than each one individually. The sum will be greater than the parts. If they fall, he says, one will lift up his companion. When two work together and live together, as in marriage, they can help each other in difficult times. Then he says, but woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help. The preacher understood that everybody needs help, and it's a blessing to both give and to receive help. If two lie down together, they'll keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? When two work and live together, they can bring comfort to the lives of each other. When two work and live together, they can bring security and safety to each other. To use a phrase, they can watch each other's back. So these four verses show us that the value of human relationships, that two are better than one. Living and working together is a great advantage to living and working alone, and adds these four things to life. Productivity, that's what is going on here when he says they have good reward for their labor. When he says they fall, one will lift up his companion. We've got in mind help in need. He also talks about comfort in life. They will keep each other warm. And safety and security, the two can withstand. But then he brings in the threefold cord is not quickly broken. The preacher gives a fascinating final line to this section dealing with the goodness of companionship. We might have accepted that he would praise the strength of the twofold cord, but instead, he noted, he goes on, he says that a threefold cord is not quickly broken. It's commonly understood that the third cord is God himself, Christ at the center of a relationship. A relationship with God at the center is a threefold cord that is not quickly broken. And he goes on to say in verses 13 through 16, "Better a poor and wise youth than an old and foolish king who will be admonished no more. For he comes out of prison to be king, although he was born poor in his kingdom. I saw all the living who walk under the sun. They were with the second youth who stands in his place. There was no end of all the people over whom he was made king. Yet those who come afterward will not rejoice in him. Surely it's all vanity and grasping for the wind." Again, here from our under-the-sun perspective that Solomon has here, he looks at the vanity of popularity or fame and its short life. The preacher begins this section with a proverb, actually, observing that it's better to be poor and wise and young than to be old, foolish, and have great wealth and status. Solomon thought of a second young man who comes out of prison, you know, rises out of misfortune and obscurity to achieve great wealth, status, and fame with all the people. Then he says, yet those who come afterward will not rejoice in him. So in his thinking here, Solomon thought of this young man who achieved much, became famous, just like the old king. He understood that fame would be short-lived. Even if the fame and popularity lasted his entire lifetime, which would be rare and remarkable, it would not live on much beyond his own life. Now, this is an under-the-sun premise, and this thought brought the familiar conclusion to Solomon. Surely, this also is vanity and grasping for the wind. No matter where Solomon went, no matter what aspect of life he studied, he learned an important lesson from the Lord. When he looked up, he saw that God was in control of life and balanced its varied experiences that we had in chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. When he looked within chapter 3, verses 9 through 14, he saw that man was made for eternity and that God would make all things beautiful in his time. When he looked ahead, he saw the last enemy, death. Then as he looked around chapter 4, he understood that life is complex, difficult, and not easy to explain. It comes at us full speed without warning, and we must stand up and take it, and with God's help, make the most of it. If this chapter teaches anything, it's that we need one another because two are better than one. And the chapter also emphasizes balance in life. It's good to have the things that money can buy, provided you don't lose the things that money can't buy. What's really costing you in terms of life to get the things that are important to you? How much of the permanent, the eternal, are you sacrificing to get your hands on the temporary? And the question is it worth it? Or to quote the words of Jesus, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Mark 8, verses 36 and 37. Perhaps take some time to think on these things. You can download the study guide for today's lesson at naomistable.com.